But what a wonderful morning we have already had. As a preacher, it is rather encouraging when you feel your message has been preached before you get a chance to bring it. And I'm excited that this morning is going to be a significant time of breakthrough and of breaking chains for people here and equipping us as we go out into the world and shine like stars in the universe. I trust you are enjoying our series on the Holy Spirit. This morning I'm going to be speaking on how the Holy Spirit helps us to lead a holy life. I'm going to be focusing on Galatians 5, but there's parallels and huge parallels between Romans 8 as well, which Alan shared, and I'm going to be sharing a bit later on as well. So in your MCOM, if you're discussing this, please do look at both of those. So Galatians 5, verses 16. And this morning, I'm going to use this message to expose and bring to light two really important issues that we as Christians can face and are not often mentioned in church life. And I was so encouraged with the word that Adam brought this morning, that God is going to expose things and bring light into situations, and that we shouldn't be too concerned about that, but trust God is leading us into that way. Bringing them into the light, I want to rob them of their power and set people free and empower us by the Holy Spirit to live free and to see chains broken. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Spirit of God, I invite you to come amongst us. Just as you are so present in our worship time, be present now amongst us. Father, I pray that you guide my words, that you will open our ears and allow the Spirit to speak into our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We started that this morning. That is still our prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul here is setting up a clear choice before the people. It is an either or. There's no middle ground. It's either the Spirit or it's the flesh. And if you live life in the Spirit, you will bear good fruit. But if you live life in the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. When Paul uses the word flesh, he's not just talking about the stuff that covers our bones, but rather he's talking about the corruptibility and rebellion of this world. It's a very negative term that he uses for flesh. Whereas our spirit is our inner reality. The what you really are inside of you is your spirit. And Paul's bringing out that there's conflict between these two. We try to live a spiritual life, and yet our flesh is also crying out. But Romans 8:9 says this: you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. As Christians, we are given the Spirit of Christ to live in power. That's the realm that leads to life and wholeness. As Christians, we have been born again. We are a new creation in Christ. So living in the Spirit is the authentic way for us to live. That's the truth. We had, I think Andrew showing that word about the EU. The legal truth is we live in the Spirit. He is leading us forward. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning, first thing, looking in the mirror in the bathroom. You may not feel on a Monday morning that you are this great mighty warrior for God. But that is the truth. And that's why God put Sundays before Mondays. For you to be encouraged to hear the truth. So when that hits you on a Monday morning, you go back to the truth and say, no, I'm in Christ. This passage speaks about keeping in step with the Spirit. It's an active thing. It's a dynamic thing, an ongoing thing that we are told to keep in step with the Spirit. That he leads and guides us. And as we do that, we will develop the fruit of that victory. The fruit of the Spirit will develop in our lives. And I want this morning to tackle these two issues which can often be a stumbling block and cause anxiety as we live the Christian life. And it's where we need the Holy Spirit, amongst many other things, to live a holy life. And these two areas are the areas of sex and pornography. I want to start by saying that sex is God's idea. It's God's idea, and it's a good idea. Designed to be a self-giving, intimate union when a man and a woman come together, a powerful, deep, emotional, and spiritual bringing together of two people. God knows that, and so planned it, that happens within a marriage relationship where a man and woman have made that lifelong commitment to each other and entered into that marriage covenant. And can I speak to those of us who are married this morning? It's so important that we keep investing into our marriages to make them even stronger than they already are. By being intentional and looking to make our marriages better than they are now. Anne and I, Anne's my wife, have just finished the marriage course that we've been running here as a church. It comes out of the Alpha kind of branding, I suppose. And I want to encourage you and recommend to you to do that particular course if you're married. I found it gave a context and a permission to have conversations which you wouldn't normally have in your marriage relationships. And I would like to encourage you to think about taking that course if you're married. We're running it again probably next autumn time. And I want to honour Steve, Christine and Sally. Do you want to stand up? Because they faithfully ran that course for a number, about nine couples, I think. So I want to honour and thank them for all the efforts in doing that. Marriage is something that is so important in God's eyes and is under attack in our society. And we want, as a community of believers, as a church, to invest. And these three guys have a vision to invest in marriages, and Andrew, of course, invest in marriages, and to really see them flourish and for us to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in living strong relationships and strong marriages. Nikki and Scylla Lee, who are the authors of the marriage course, say this: sex is designed by God to be an expression of the exclusive and committed relationship between a man and a woman. Sadly, we now live in a society that cheapens that. Films, advertising, videos, they glamorize it to be an instant gratification. Adultery is portrayed as exciting. Within culture, there is a sense that if you have had sex, you have somehow made it in life, that you have now become fully human. I want to expose that as a lie this morning. The truth is that God loves you, God accepts you, and he has a wonderful adventure to take you on and has plans for your success whatever age you are and whatever stage of life you are at. You don't have to do something to suddenly become complete or whole or fully human. God's got a plan for you whatever stage of the life you're at the moment. Embrace that and seek his plans for you. As a society, we have untied the lines of Christian morality on sex. And we've let it drift on the tide of the spirit of this age. And we are now left wondering why there are so many complex and distressing issues that we have to deal with in society. We've untied the Christian morals. Within our world, there's been a shift, and I think even in my short lifetime, from where it was kind of accepted not having sex outside of marriage, it's moved from that to, well, let's practice safe sex, to today, where the sexual morality is that it must be consensual. The assumption now is not if you have sex, but rather when you have sex. I don't want to undermine that issue of consent being consensual. And our university students here have received training on that message. This is the culture that our young people, our students, our 20s are growing up in. We need the Holy Spirit to live and empower us to live counter-culture lives. To not be taken in by the lies of this world or the mocking of so-called friends because we have a high view on sex. When sex is such a precious thing that we want to give and to share it with our life partner within the context of marriage. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us into producing the fruit of victory, not being left with the ashes of defeat. And as often happens with a good thing that God gives us, this can be viciously turned to evil by the devil. And I think we see this most arguably within pornography. I have spent my week carefully, very carefully, researching this subject. I can tell you, I have been horrified, even to the point of disbelief, over some of the reports I have read. Let me give you three facts, because I think we need to know what's happening. Of all internet traffic, global internet traffic, it's estimated that 30% of it is pornography. Porn sites get more visits per month than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. This third fact, I didn't believe, frankly. I contacted the website that put this data out, and they confirmed it and updated it to last year's figures, which are even worse. And the data is the data that's been released by the actual website. It's not research by someone else. It's what they are saying they have done. So in 2016, it was disclosed by one site that they provided 4.6 billion hours of porn. I checked the maths on this one, because that accounts to 525,000 years worth. That's 500,000 years of porn videos watched from one site. And I thought to myself, that's unbelievable. That's like 500,000. And I thought, well, it's not 500,000. A millennia is 1,000 years. That's 525 millennia of time given to watching this across the world. Our world needs creative minds to solve issues. Poverty, equality. We've got creativity, art, sport, act. Almost anything will be better than watching this. When I look back over my lifetime, when I was a kid, it was just naughty magazines on the top shelf of the newsagents. Then I can remember videos coming out, going to videos. The internet has totally exploded its use and its acceptability and its availability. You are at church now, and yet you have a machine in your pocket where you can access as much porn as you want. And you brought that into church. This is the society that we are now living in. Why is porn so damaging? It damages love. It leads to dissatisfaction with your real life partner and leads to relationship breakdown. It portrays people as objects. It promotes sexual violence. They estimate 88% of scenes depict aggression or violence. And it can lead to addiction, where the brain tells you it needs more of it, more often and more hardcore, just to feel normal. That's just on a personal level. More widely, it's associated with organized crime, such as drugs and people trafficking. It's not the way to go if you want to be walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Yet if the stats are correct, there is a significant number of people here who have watched porn in the last month. Let me show you a video now produced by a UK charity called The Naked Truth that gives advice in how to deal with this if you feel this is an issue. It's not particularly a Christian video. It's based on Greek classical literature. And this is good to hear this, because you may have people who you want to help in this area. So if you could play the video now, please.
Different cultures have told stories with warnings and wisdom for living life. These are sirens, mythical creatures with songs so captivating that passing ships would change course towards them and end up shipwrecked, losing crew and cargo, or else making it to shore and being killed by the sirens, whose bite was worse than their bark, as it turns out. Enter Ulysses and the not-so-mystically named Jason, two characters who avoided the siren snare. Ulysses' plan was twofold. First, he made his crew block their ears with beeswax so they couldn't hear the music. Secondly, they were ordered to tie him to the mast so he physically couldn't change course. They were to stop him even if he begged to be released. Jason, on the other hand, hired Orpheus, the greatest musician in Greece. The plan? Simple. Orpheus played a much sweeter song, and it drowned out the siren's music. Throughout history and the arts, sirens became the personification of sexual temptation, a parable of the dangerous enticements leading to regrettable decisions, broken relationships, and shipwrecked lives. A few thousand years later, and pornography is more accessible than ever, with the same deadly pull as the siren song. So, here's three things we learn from Ulysses and Jason. Step one, avoid what you can. If you want to avoid pornography's pull, ask yourself when and where you are most vulnerable, and where you can, plan to avoid it. For example, going to bed at the same time as your partner might help to avoid the temptation of late-night surfing. Place a filter on your computer or disable some apps or the browser on your phone. It works better than beeswax. Step two, ask others to help. Who are your companions? Who will say it like it is and keep you restrained even if you wish they didn't? Who can you trust to keep you on course? You need those kinds of people. Step three, pursue the better song. Family, faith, friendships. What are the things that you love in life that have value and depth? How can you pursue these more? Make a list. Surround yourself with pictures of them. Carve out time. Spend some money. Make some choices. But do all that you can to pursue the better song.
So, three steps. Avoid it. Think it through. Involve your friends and pursue the better thing. Invest elsewhere. I think the most important thing from what I've experienced is about telling someone. I've had numerous people over the years disclose to me that's been an issue for them. It is a really big step for them to do that. It takes great courage. But the sense of relief that is found when that's done and they bring something into the light is immense. And even in just doing that, it robs it of its power. And keeping that accountability is such an important thing. There are a number of websites that, even as I've been researching this, have been very useful. So if you want to go onto these sites and there's advice, there's information, please do feel free to have a look at those. I'll leave this on for about a minute or so. So, I've written down here, I hope that I haven't shocked you too much. I hope I have shocked you a bit. I hope I've opened eyes to some of this issue, but I hope I haven't offended anyone. We do live in a fallen world where there is a defeated power at work that wants to see us distracted and locked into something that is not healthy, chained to something that is not healthy, which won't produce the fruit that we should naturally be producing as children of God. And I want to be part of a church that lives in the 21st century and is bold enough to engage with these sorts of issues. I believe that in raising it here, bringing it as an issue into the light will have an effect. That even this morning there will be people whose chains are broken from this and can walk free in this and to go forward. Hopefully have opened our eyes. I was shocked. I knew it was bad, didn't realize it was that bad. And for us to be equipped also with helping people who have an issue in this area, you've got those websites, but the three steps to avoid it. Secondly, involve friends. Thirdly, pursue something better. And I'm well aware that this is not just a teenage boy thing. We need the Holy Spirit. So from that place, let me declare over us the first couple of verses from Romans 8. You've heard them already this morning. Therefore, there is no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation if you are in Christ. Myself, the church this morning, does not want to condemn anyone. But we want to teach, to encourage, and exhort us all to live a life in step with the Spirit, so that we are empowered by the Spirit to live authentic Christian life of freedom. So that we are able, as Paul says in Philippians 2, to shine like stars in the universe against the background of this wicked and depraved generation. How do we do that? Let me begin by telling you a story. When iPads were relatively new, a friend of mine got one and he wanted to sync it with his computer. So he got the cable, plugged it in, pressed sync, nothing happened. So he called his friend over to assist him because he wasn't that computer literate. And the friend looked at it, checked a few things and realised the laptop was quite old. So he said to his friend, when it comes up and it says updates to install, and it says now or later, what do you press? And the guy says, oh, later. I'm always so busy with things. I know it will interfere, I have to reboot, and that sort of thing. And the computer guy says, oh, well, because you haven't updated it, your computer doesn't even know there's a thing called an iPad. It hasn't been updated, doesn't know it exists. Every time you were asked to update, you should have pressed now and updated your computer. Because little by little, it would have been aware and been able to adapt to new technology and would be able to accept the iPad as you've plugged it in. I want to ask you now, are you pressing now every time God seeks you out for an update? Is it convenient? Will it interfere with what you're doing? Perhaps that unglamorous daily pressing of the button that says update now, that is what we need to do as followers of Christ to keep fresh in God, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We need that update now. This regular maintenance is what will bring us growth. It might not be spectacular every morning when we read our Bible or when we pray or when we worship and come to God and ask us to fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. But every time we do that, we are pressing update now. I want to keep fresh in God. Continually pressing that leads to growth. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. So are you asking for those updates? Or are you ignoring them, waiting for a more convenient time? Which, let me tell you, will never come. We need to engage and to learn to download from God amongst the busyness and the turmoil of our life. And as we do those daily things, we keep fresh in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us afresh and empowers us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I wonder if the music group could come up now. We can have a time of ministry now, worship, but I'm not going to ask people to come forward that feel this morning they are addicted to porn. I don't want to embarrass anyone in that way. But I would encourage you to deal with that. To see a friend or a trusted leader. In fact, I would plead with you to get this sorted out. Sharing it with someone brings it into the light. The cost otherwise is too great and the stakes are too high to continue. I would say to you to swallow your pride, to seek help. Don't leave it until tomorrow. Do something today to address that issue. We're going to focus again on Jesus. I wonder if you could stand. He has sent his Spirit to help us. He knows. God came to earth in the person of Jesus. He knows what it is like to be tempted. He knows what it is like to live through the pressures of a human life. We have a God, because of that, who can sympathize with us. But we also have a God who is powerful enough to deal with it.